Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your hosts, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And if you like our show, like and subscribe wherever you find it. And you could also find us on SportsWire Radio at sportsanarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows along with ours. So, Sharman, another draft in the books.
Yes, sir. another draft in the books.
Hopefully another good one, right?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, this is the issue with the draft is always not the issue, but what always raises its ugly head is the mention of, I think I sent you this earlier today, everybody trying to grade a draft. There's absolutely no way you know what a draft is or what it's going to become. And famously, the one I sent you was about the Seattle draft. That was, what year was that? The year with...
The one they were talking about, I think it was 2012?
Right, It was... Was it 2012? No, was it earlier than that?
Or 2010? Which one? Oh, man.
The Seattle draft with...
With Irvin.
With Wilson, Irvin, and
Wagner.
And Wagner. And basically, I don't want to take a shot at this website, but I guess I just got to do it. because my guy that used to be there, he ain't there anymore, so it's all good. Bleacher Report basically was like, they basically gave them an F. You know, because they thought that Wilson was a fledgling quarterback. He wasn't going to be anything. Irvin was, you know, okay, passable. And they didn't think too much of one of the best linebackers we've seen in a long time in Bobby Wagon.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer. Actually, at least two of those guys are going to be Hall of Famers. I think. Russell Wilson, unless he really completely falls off the earth, but
somebody wrote that. Somebody wrote that these guys was that draft was an F in freaking May. And that's the problem. That the problem is you evaluate the you know, I don't want to disrespect the people, the guys out there that actually sit down and evaluate the talents. But a lot of the time, there is a lot of short-sightedness there, because you as an evaluator is evaluating for what you think. You don't work for an organization. You've never been in the boardrooms having conversations with the coaches and what they need and what they like. A lot of what we do as fans, or a lot of what even the media does, is a lot of, we're basically trying to play pin the tail on the donkey. You know, a lot of the time, you're just not gonna pin the tail.
Right.
You know, you're in the game, but you're blindfolded. You know, that's the difference between Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and his scouts. These guys have been doing that homework on that player, not for if the player is gonna be a great player per se. Does he fit what they want?
Is he
going to be great in what we do? That's the question. It's not necessarily if he's going to be great, period. And I know a lot of people are going to probably kick back at that, but think about what I'm saying. Because a lot of players they're okay players, but they're not... They just can't fit in what you would ask them to do for depending on the system. And particularly, Robert Saleh's system is incredibly nuanced and difficult to learn. That's something that we've heard over and over and over again. So if that's true, then guess what? You have to have a particular set of skills. I know. shout out to one of what's the name of the Taken movies?
Yes.
So back to what we were talking about about this draft. I think there's a lot that's way out, and it's way out because last year a standard was set. You know, look at the players we got at the positions we got them, and the fact that they were able to go on the field and make a difference immediately, right? So you're trying to project what these guys are going to do. Number one, the Aaron Rodgers move forced the Jets to move down from 13 to 15, which in face value, the moment you saw that, you knew that a lot of options were off the table instantly.
Yep.
That other teams would have picked before you, and they'd probably take your best, you know. And the fact that the Patriots allowed the Steelers to come up before us, hey man, listen. Hey, is your enemy taking a shot at you?
Oh yeah. Definitely, because they took less from Pittsburgh for Pittsburgh to move up, supposedly.
Right.
And they took like a fourth round pick. So
which is basically like, yo, these guys are getting way too strong. We gotta we gotta pop that balloon.
Yeah.
So there were so many things that happened that kind of put the Jets in a kind of a awkward position. So they were forced to go with what they believed in the most, which was one of the basically cornerstones of what Robert Saleh's defense or Jeff Ulbrich's defense does, is pressure the quarterback. And something that kind of sticks out to me that I haven't heard a lot of people speak about is the fact that how many of our edge rushers had, I think the number is only one of our edge rushers had anything coming close to a double digit sack, and that was what's his name, the highest paid edge rusher, was injured, played the whole season last year for the first time. Chris, help me out. Chris?
Yes. Somebody was at my door. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. It's so all good.
Yeah.
I was talking about the fact that basically the situation that the Jets had, right, were put in because of the Aaron Rodgers trade having to drop down from 13 to 15, right?
Yeah.
Forced them into a situation where their main choices, and the rumors was Broderick Jones was going to be gone by the time they got there. And it forced them into picking, like, to fall back on the things they knew best, or their strengths, or whatever, what it is that they love the most. And apparently what they love the most, or who they love the most, was this kid, Will McDonald.
Let me ask you this quick question. Here's the big question. And I don't know if this could go either way, but what if Broderick Jones was there at 15? Do you think it was an automatic that they were going to draft him? Or do you think?
I don't know. because this is the crazy thing. That this is why I say it was rumored, because nobody really knows, and nobody will really know unless you see the Jets board, which. Right. I think that was the one time there was a leak of a picture of the Jets board, but you don't get to see teams' boards at all. You never do. So people will say stuff, but you don't know if that's true. You know what I mean? As fans, we have an attitude of we know exactly what this team needs. Bro, we only going off of our feelings. It doesn't mean that's what they're looking at or what they're doing. So Broderick Jones might have been there, and they still might have picked Will McDonald, and people probably would have gone insane. Why would you not take the tackle? Why? Listen, you cannot always agree with these people. There's no way you could tell me that your very limited amount of homework matches to probably several scouts sitting in a room watching tape over and over and over again and trying to create a hierarchy of picks, right? Or even during the draft when the board, however the board fell, all the scenarios that might have come to try to create an answer for every scenario that might have come is impossible. So you have to stick to what you know best or what you think is best for your team. And again, a cornerstone of this team is rushing the passer from that wide nine stance. They took a player that they thought that was miscast in his role, which is Will McDonald, basically playing 4-eye. And if anybody want to know what a 4-eye is, picture an outside defensive end in a 3-4. That's what the 4-eye position is. You're heads up on a tackle at sub 240 pounds. And you would think that guy being that light in the pants would make him, struggle, right? He would struggle. No, he did not. He actually had some really good seasons, despite the fact that he was playing in a miscast position. What really stood out, I think, to the Jets was the fact that I don't want to steal this, but I have to, because that's the only way you could really explain what Will McDonald is, because I've heard other people say it. You remember Gumby?
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's long as hell, and it seems like he could put his body in positions that is unnatural. And the fact that he could take a corner, a tackle out so wide that the tackle has to reach to try to block him, and then basically cut him off and do a 90-degree inside cut to get back to the wide receiver, the quarterback. That is what elite pass rushers do best. It's called running the hoop. It's called bend. There's a multitude of phrases or terms that are used to explain what that is. And this kid has it in spades. He does it at a damn near elite level. And he still hasn't been a pro yet. So Robert Saleh goes, I love this, and I could take that and turn it into that damn near elite stuff. I could turn it into elite problems for a lot of teams. When he answered the phone talking to Will McDonald, he said, what's up, game wrecker? Because that's what he thinks the kid is, and that's what he wants the kid to be. And I see it. And I'm not the only one. I've listened to a lot of people that do this stuff for a living say it over and over again, that's what he is. Now, the question is he going to be an elite run stuffer? Maybe not. He's smaller. I mean, he's strong. but he's not that kind of strong. He's not Jermaine Johnson strong.
Right.
But then, you know, he might be able to put on weight, but does that inhibit what he does best? We don't know. And the process of trying to create this body that where he could use the fluidity of his athleticism and still be able to be strong enough to stand up in the run game is something that we don't know what's going to happen. It's up in the atmosphere. We just don't know.
Here's something to think about. When teams draft players, right?
Yes, sir.
They try to get one of three things, or at least two of these three things, right? Either it's drafting at a need, best player available, or you draft depth, right? Now, I think Will McDonald checks all three boxes for the Jets right now.
Go ahead.
Now, definitely depth at edge rusher, without a doubt. It's definitely depth. A need, it's going to be a need within a year, because next year we might lose Huff and we might lose Lawson, right? So you take those two guys off the team, all of a sudden it becomes a need, right? Next year. So you got those two. Now, best player available, that seems to be what he is also. So they might have checked all three boxes with this one pick with Will McDonald, because he checks all these boxes. Right now, to me, he checks all these boxes. Except I just don't know if he was the best player on their board. Maybe they had someone else. I don't know who, but I think he checks all three of these boxes for the Jets.
I agree with you. That's actually a really good way of looking at it. You know?
Yeah.
So I think Will McDonald at 15, even if it was a surprise pick for a lot of people, checks a lot of boxes for the Jets. And you could disagree with it. You could say that you were shocked, whatever it is. You cannot really state at this point that it was a mistake or it wasn't the best pick, because what we just told you, if you combine what I said or the way I viewed it to what Chris said, I think it covers enough. I think it gives enough of a, I don't want to say an excuse, but it actually points positively in the way the Jets viewed Will McDonald. So can't be disappointed with the pick. There's no way you can be, because probably down the road, if he does not become what we think he could be, maybe we could go back and have this conversation again. But right now, I think this works for them perfectly.
Definitely. I totally agree. I mean, and just remember how we felt last year when they took Sauce Gardner. Nobody was expecting that. And everybody's like, wait a minute. Don't we have a couple of good corners already?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't. Right? So now that's how I look at it this way. What were we, like 7th or 8th in total sacks last year? Which is pretty good, which is really good, actually. But you know what? I think they want to be first or second in sacks. They want to do what the Eagles did last year, because they know if we get to the quarterback as much as the Eagles did last year, you know what? We might be in the Super Bowl like the Eagles were last year. So
and
that's
the crazy thing. It's a crazy thing that you just said. You brought up the Eagles, because that's the comp. One of the comps that I've heard of Will McDonald is Hassan Reddick.
Oof.
Exactly. Right. Add a Hassan Reddick to an already potent pass rushing team with the kind of game record we have in the middle with Quinn and Williams. Yeah. Yeah, that's game changing. So I wasn't surprised of the pick. I actually did not do a lot of homework on Will McDonald before the draft. That's one of the reasons why I did not see it coming, and I wasn't alone. I don't think we know exactly what it is, but if you line it up right now, we're comfortable with the pick And let's hope that he's able to stay healthy, work on his craft and develop, because he could be a major addition to this team, especially if it turns out that this offense is going to put up numbers with Aaron Rodgers and we're going to have to defend quarterbacks dropping back to throw the ball.
Yep. Totally agree. They know it's all about getting to the quarterback, right? That's because the quarterback is so important, whether it's Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. That's the only way you're going to beat these guys is getting to them, making them uncomfortable. Yep. in the pocket, letting them run out, whatever. You can't just, if they're going to sit back and be comfortable in the pocket, they are just going to beat us all day. So I, you know what? It was a surprise pick, but I think it was the right pick at the same time. Sure, they wanted to trade down. I get it. And I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did try to trade down. They just probably didn't get the right offer to trade down. You know, something that wasn't worth for them. So I like it. Now, in the second round, we draft at number 43, and we get Joe Tippmann, the center. 6'6", 313.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I thought that he was one of the better interior offensive linemen, together with Whipler, Michael Schmidt, and what's the other kid's name? Forget the other kid's name, but yeah. But I thought there was three of them that were like, and it in my opinion, it depended on what you wanted. I think if you wanted a sound technically sound player that had all that had an incredible anchor, had all the smarts, used to wrestle, all that stuff, you would go with Schmidt. If you wanted the athletic, be able to pull, but had the same level of smarts, and had an anchor, in my opinion, that I think is underrated, and is very strong, I think you would go with Tippmann. I think I know, going through a lot of the pro stuff, there were a lot of people that had Tippmann as their top interior guy, so it wasn't that far between him and Schmidt, who a lot of people had as their first. So that was a clear difference, in my opinion, between the number 15 pick and this number 43 pick, because I think we could all agree as Jets fans that we were really happy and content in getting that kind of player at that position, especially coming from basically the factory of interior offensive line in Wisconsin. I mean, come on, man. Like, name the name in the last, what, in the last 20 years or whatever it's been.
Mm-hmm.
They basically make those guys. There's a factory over there that just make Wisconsin offensive, interior offensive linemen. That's it, right?
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, his powers are generated from his haircut. You know that. I mean, I don't know. Once you see that haircut, you know what country strong means, right? Basically, that's what comes with it. But yeah, they call it the Wisconsin waterfall. That's what they call it. It's crazy. But yeah, you know, I was really happy with the pick. I really like the player. I think he fits the Jets scheme, that wide zone. A dude that weighs 313 pounds should not be able to move as quickly as he does, and move in space and able to block in space as well as he does. And he did a lot of that at Wisconsin, which converts pretty well into what the Jets offensive line scheme is. So, I was very happy for about the pick, really.
Yeah, I definitely did. You know what? I was just surprised that they picked him over Schmidt at center.
Yeah. But I know why. But like I said, that I understood why. You know,
right, even if I, it makes sense.
And because they went for a player that could play within their scheme. It's not that Schmidt could not, but if you had to grade athleticism between the two of them, Tipman is the better athlete. He's the better blocker in space, and I think there was no other interior offensive lineman, in my opinion, and you could look that up. Anybody could look that up. Because I'm pretty sure that I never saw any interior offensive lineman that moved like him. When he's talking about speed, athleticism. No. You could tell me somebody was stronger than him.
Right.
You could tell me that somebody was more technically sound, had better hand placement. You could say that. But athletically, no. He was the better athlete. And I think there was, right. And I think there was a trend. That was a trend. With the Jets draft, I saw it in many places where the relative athletic score, the RAS, the Will McDonald is like way up there, and then Tipman is way up there too.
I think every player we got was
had incredible RAS scores. That's what it is. And also he's incredibly versatile. Another thing that really kind of, you know, to me puts that pick over the hill for the Jets and what they need. They love versatility in interior offensive linemen. Guess what they have? AVT, he could play tackle. Tipman could play guard. Right? There's like a bunch of guys on that line that could do so multiple things. So they're in a lot of ways interchangeable. They understand each other's positions. And also, when you play in 17 games, you're going to have one or two injuries or nicks here and there, man. And you might need somebody to step in here and there. Versatility is a thing that's needed. And Joe Douglas has made it a thing to have very versatile players on his offensive line. So that's definitely one of the key things that they were looking at. I think another thing when you're talking about athleticism, that when it comes to interior offensive linemen, well, not interior, but just offensive line, is being able is great feet. Matching your feet to what your hands do. That's harder than it looks.
Right.
And to be able to do it, you have to be pretty athletic to be able to do that. And he has very good feet. That is an incredibly good base to build on. When an offensive line coach is looking at things or variables in a player's skill set that he could build off, that's an incredibly great foundation. I think that the Jets' new offensive line coach will probably salivate over the fact that he got a player of that caliber that he could probably, you know, kind of mold into an incredibly great starter for many, many seasons to come.
And just to give you a little excerpt, I found this on SI.com, the NFL Draft Bible, an athletic, powerful center who excels at framing blocks and climbing to the second level. Yep. Tipman is a converted high school tackle with high-end athletic profile. He has the athleticism and speed to land blocks on linebackers and DBs as a puller. His balance raises some concerns as he ends up on the ground a fair amount.
That is very true. I'm not going to lie. I'm not. And we got to give a shout out to our guy, Joe Blewett. A lot of my analysis when it comes to watching players play is learning from him, and the things that if you follow him and you watch it, if you have the patience to watch his breakdown of players, but he gives you the nuanced analysis of players and what makes them tick, or what makes a position tick. One of the things that on when it comes to offensive line is trying to keep your feet. And I think it's partly coaching on Tipman's part. I think he could be helped, because it's not like he can't get to the spot. He gets there. He has athleticism. He has the speed to get to the spot. Now, to create, to block, and then keep yourself balanced, keep yourself on the feet, and get two guys instead of one. That makes an incredible difference when you have a running back like Breece Hall. Because Breece Hall will get there. If you give him the space and you get to the first block, you climb up to the second level, get the linebacker, put him on his butt, and then get to the safety that's trying to crack to get Breece, this 20-yard run that you just created could turn into 50 or 70.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I think it's an incredibly great. He's an incredible player in my opinion, and I think the skills, his skill set is a great foundation to build on for wide zone offensive linemen. So I look forward to seeing him play center for the Jets for a long, long time.
Yep. And this is where I think with our fourth round pick, I think the first two guys we talked about, McDonald and Tippmann, I think both those guys are going to play a lot. Tippmann, I think, is obviously, he's probably going to take over the starting center position. And McDonald, with the edges, we've learned already, and even the DTs, it doesn't matter who starts, right? Because they just rotate him in and out the whole game. So I really don't care who starts those guys. But I think with our fourth round pick, Carter Warren, I don't know if he's going to start. I don't think he will because, you know, as long as, you know, let's pray and hope and cross our fingers, Becton gets through camp healthy and he's starting. I think he's going to start. And I think Dwayne Brown is going to be the left tackle. At least that's what it looks like right now. What are your thoughts on Carter Warren?
I agree with what you just said when you said that Dwayne Brown's going to be the left tackle. You're not paying Dwayne Brown the kind of money you're paying him to be a backup.
Right.
And a 350-pound, stronger, you know, healthy Becton is like playing right tackle, in my opinion. And everybody else is the backup. That's what it should be, right? If that line starts, in my opinion, and these guys stay healthy, we have a really good line. Holy.
And we actually have depth right now, right?
Yes. Yeah, we have depth at every position on that line.
Something we didn't have last year, I don't think.
Something we didn't have last year.
And we brought it up. And we brought it up too, right? In the offseason, even during the season, we were like, this is where, if you're going to get on Joe Douglas for something, it's the tackle position, the depth on that offensive line.
And it you came can't say to, that again.
No, definitely not. Yeah, I think he did a lot better job this year than last year.
There's bodies everywhere. They got people. But Warren is a player, again, another player that I did not watch at all before the Jets picked him. But I see why they like him. Another really crazy athletic big man, 6'6", 331 pounds. I bet they were watching him, and that's how they found out about the next pick, because they basically played in the same school, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, right. So, he's one of those guys. He has experience, right? I think he started for a long time.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why he wasn't taken further up, in my opinion, was the fact that he was injured.
He had a knee injury, I think.
Yeah.
Senior year.
Yeah, so that is probably one of the reasons why you don't see him. One of the things that stuck out to me when I watched him was his pass blocking. His pass blocking is incredible. And one of the reasons why is because this dude has long ass arms. I think he has, when it comes to pass blocking, I think he has it down. He uses his hands pretty well. He shoots them late sometimes, which helps him strike better. I don't see a lot of issues when it comes to him missing strikes or going wide a lot. I think that's where his game is. Run blocking, it's not bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah,
I'm
that's
not,
the one
but
negative I see here.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these things are things that depend. It depends on what you're asking and in what system you are. Because if you're playing in a power system, getting to the point of rooting out people in the point in a power system is totally different from what you're asked in a wide zone system. Now, of course, because it's playing the position of tackle, and it doesn't matter what system you are, there's certain things that will translate between scheme. Playing wide zone or playing zone foot blocking zone anyway comes with a lot of movement. And he's athletic enough to be able to move. He's athletic enough to get to the second level. Blocking in space, you don't see. I don't have enough tape of him to see that. A lot of what he did when it comes to that, which is something again, like we said before, when we were talking about Tippmann, which would be asked. You ask a lot of your offensive linemen to reach block a lot, get to the second level a lot. I think he has the profile, athletic profile, to be able to do these things. I think that's why they drafted him. I think he's, again, like we said, his pass blocking is great enough, is good enough, you know, that there's a foundation there. What he will become, I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna, you know, if he's gonna become. I'll put it out there. I think what they were thinking of was probably a swing tackle. Right. I think they were thinking of somebody that could be a guy that would be, hey, you know, we have an injury. Can you play right today? We have an injury on left. Can you play left today? You know, I think that's what they're trying to develop when it comes to him. Because I think he has the potential to be that.
Well, here's what that NFL draft Bible said. They said the gritty Warren is a veteran offensive lineman with a quick kick slide and excellent arm length, but his lack of athleticism in space and struggles as a run blocker suggest he's in for a bumpy ride at the NFL level. He's a four-year starter with more than 2,700 career offensive snaps, who saw his 2022 season cut short by the knee injury.
So athleticism is a problem. Okay. All right. I mean,
that's just like one person's mistake, you know.
No, I mean, I can't. The draft Bible is they've been doing this forever, man. Like, I remember way back reading the draft Bible, so I'm not even gonna like disrespect them like that. Because if they, you know, you could be wrong on a lot of things. One of the things that is hard to be wrong on is something like that, because it presents itself. If you watch enough film, you could tell, you know, you could kind of not miss that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those are things that are not, you can't miss that. I thought that he has the potential to do that. I think they were right when they said, I saw the same thing when it comes to the pass blocking. I think you saw that that was something he worked really, really hard on, is being able to get out there on an island and block. I think it helps that his arms are so long. It's helped, like they said, that he has a pretty quick kick slide. The run blocking thing, man, that's a tough thing, because I don't, there's not a lot of guys that do well in the NFL when they can't run block. It's the trade of an offensive lineman to run block, right? You hear that all the time, when you hear, if you want to warm up an offensive line, just run the ball like six times back to back to back. You know what I mean? Just you know, because they're going to get, you know, get them all, let go. You know what I mean? And if you are going to struggle at doing that, you're basically what you trade as, yeah, that is going to be a tough thing, I think. But I think essentially, I'm going to hold on to my initial thought that I think it's possible for him to be passable as a run blocker. I don't think he's ever going to be elite at it. I think he could be good at it.
But as a backup, I think that's as good as,
yeah,
you know.
There you go. Thank you.
So, all right. So the fifth round pick, this is my favorite pick, actually, because he's from Brooklyn. He went to Pitt, running back Israel Abanikanda.
Abanikanda.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff about him. Well, what's your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Another player again. I think I want to go. I'm going to go out. The only person I remember talking about this kid was Connor Rogers. There's a handful of people that I listen to, and that name did not come up a lot. He's, you know, he's the one person that came. And you know what? If you're from Bed-Stuy, I'm with it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Good, man.
yeah, man. What? You know, and his family resides in around Brownsville. Bro, come on, man. This is basically family.
That's it.
You know, speed. Real easy speed. Sub 4.4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or about 4.4 speed. Come on, man.
You could see that.
He's oozing that. He gets where he's going really quickly. And it's not even like he's trying too hard. You know. So he has that. He has for me, because I watched a couple games that I could get. Like I said, the couple games I watched was I watched a couple of Warren's the year before, and I watched a couple of Abanikanda's. I don't know if it was Ohio they were playing. Man, come on, man.
Oh,
this dude was
like
killing
shot
that
out
team.
Of a cannon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Like, it just freaking took off. And yeah. it's like he was gone. Like all the time, it's just you see him outrun everybody, you know. 11 games, 1,431 yards, 20 touchdowns. Come on,
he had that big 300 yard game too, right?
Yes,
was last
yes.
year, the year
yeah,
before.
Yep. Yeah. Incredibly talented player. The comp that I heard was former 49ers. Current Dolphin.
Oh,
you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I heard. Do you remember that year Mostert took off? Where I didn't think he had 1,000 yards that year, but he had a bunch of touchdowns. And like, I think he was very close to 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Where he just had like big play after big play after big play after big play. I think that's the comp. And I agree with that.
Here's what the draft Bible said. An explosive home run hitter who quickly blows past the second level. Abanikanda is a one cut and go running back with elite acceleration and burst. His quick feet and change of direction ability allows him to cut it outside in a jiffy, showcasing the ability to switch from east to west to north to south. Abanikanda battles for yards after contact.
Yeah, he battles for yards after contact, but I don't think he's pretty good. Yeah, I don't think he's pretty good at it.
Well, he's not that big, right? 217.
Yeah, I saw him as soon as he got hit, he went down. That's one of the things I saw. I didn't see him break a lot of tackles. Now I could, like I said, I only watched like two games, so I can't even, you know, I'm not out here saying. And I watched a bunch of his tapes, so I don't know. But I don't care.
Right. Yeah. No, his highlight,
because that's not, because that's not what I'm, because if you're going to be, if you run in zone, this is one of the things that, that running that wide zone gets you to have. Cause a lot of it is running in space. If you're the master of that, you're beating everybody. You just, because you're going to get there before everybody else. By the time they figure out where you're going to be, you're gone. Right? If it's blocked right, if it's blocked right, a 4 yard gain is 15. A 15 yard gain is 30. And you know, use your imagination, you know? So, hey man, I'm happy that he's from around, he's from around the way. I'm happy that he gets to play for the Jets. And I think he could be a good stand-in. Actually, I think he fits really well to what Michael Carter and Bam Knight does. When you put the trio together, I think it would be an incredibly great trio to kind of stand in before for Breece Hall until he's like 100%.
Yeah. I think that was the big thing. Because of Breece Hall, like, we don't know how he's going to be early on, right? Running backs coming back from the ACL. You're not sure if they're going to be 100%, 85%, 95%, whatever it is. So I think just adding another running back to that mix, especially with this guy's, you know, just, I mean, the quickness that this guy has is something that we just don't have, other than Breece Hall, obviously. But
yeah, we saw Bam do it a little bit, right? He had it in a limited amount of games where he kind of broke out a little bit, then he kind of slowed down after a while. But
I think later on, though, in the year, it was, you know, our line was beat up, and you know, every week it was a different combination, right? And so
I think the biggest question at running back for us, just to break away from the conversation, is Michael Carter, and which Michael Carter we're gonna get.
Right.
Are we going to get the exactly. But another question I have with Obanikanda is his receiving prowess, which is something I saw too much of. And according to what I read in a lot of breakdowns of him, was they didn't use him too much as a pass catcher. But with his explosion, if he could get the ball in his hand,
oof.
Exactly.
Just get the ball in his hands. That's exactly
it. That's the thing. So I love the pick, man. I really do.
Yep. And then our next pick, the sixth rounder. I don't know much about him either. Zaire Barnes from Western Michigan, linebacker.
Not gonna lie, no.
Okay. All right, so let's not get any
tape on him, nothing. Don't know.
I'll tell you what the draft Bible says, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
They said an explosive linebacker with great range. Barnes flashes the footwork, hips, motor, and ball skills to be a highly effective run and chase tackler who can also drop back in coverage. While he's not overly physical or rugged and instincts are just adequate, Barnes demonstrates extremely impressive movement skills.
Okay.
Plus, he ran a 4.5 in the 40.
That's pretty fast
for a linebacker. 6'1", just 230.
Oh, he played safety before. That makes sense.
Ah,
that makes sense. So basically, he's kind of in the mold of what they like. How many of their guys that they have right now that are playing that are linebackers that are basically run and chase and used to play safety?
I think. Let me see. Anybody outside of Mosley and
Williams.
Right, and Quincy. Outside of those two.
Everybody right. else is the same. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what this... Like I said, I did not watch him. I did not get anything of him to watch, so I did not... I just read a few things about him. What you just said about what the draft Bible said, sounds about the same thing as what I read. He's, according to what I read... Yeah, The problem with those guys is, what, you know, if you can't learn that defense, you don't understand how to fit, to understand the fits in that defense, you're not going to see a lot of starting time. I don't know. Special teamer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely a special teamer, I would think. I think it's going to bring up the question, are we going to re-sign Quan Alexander, or are we going to look for someone else for that third?
We still have
linebacker spot.
We still have linebacker. We still have that kid that we drafted 2 years ago.
Oh, Najuddin?
Yeah.
And Sherwood?
And right? Sherwood. Right. I was just about to say.
Which one do you think out of the two?
I think Sherwood.
Have the best shot. Sherwood?
Sherwood was Najuddin at first for me was who I thought, but it became pretty clear that when it came to the stuff upstairs in the mental part of the game, I think Sherwood was way 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 ahead of Najuddin. He does not have that explosive athleticism. I don't think it matches to what Najuddin is, but he sees the game so quickly, in my opinion, in the little time that a couple plays that I've seen him play, that I think he could transition properly, depending on the kind of offseason he had this year. Let's see what he could do. He has a great teacher in Mosley, and I think Quincy Williams does a pretty good job too of being able to, because he himself had to learn too, and he's gotten better. He had a better season last year than he had any season before that.
Yeah.
So he's growing. He's growing himself. So, I think Sherwood is probably the guy, in my opinion, that might be able to transition. We'll see.
Another late round pick. We got cornerback Jarek Bernard Converse from LSU. Corner, safety, could do it all. Just quickly, I'll give you what the draft Bible said. He possesses excellent speed and recovery quickness. In addition, Bernard Converse has fluid athleticism and hips along with great smarts. The Shreveport native is a physical corner who will step up in the run game. He also demonstrated toughness this past season, battling through a handful of nagging injuries.
Now, I watched him play a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
When they said that he has, I don't know if I disagree with the hips thing. I'm sorry, but again, I don't want to disrespect Dry Bible because again, this guy's been doing it way too long. But for me, I think kind of had a little bit of stiffness to his game. But he does have experience playing multiple DB positions.
Right, so that's good.
So that's good. Again, another cornerstone of what it looks like Ulbrich and Salah is looking for, guys that could do multiple jobs. And I think he did it. He does it well enough. I think he has good eyes from what I see. He's pretty good instincts. So as a DB, I think those two things kind of as what I look for a lot when I watch DBs play. Being able to understand what's happening quick enough and react to it. I think instincts are part of study. And I think he does. I think according to what I saw, he has that. I think he's not afraid to tackle. Tackles really well. I think he's there were a couple of tackles that I saw he didn't bring his feet with him. That's a problem because if you're going to do that in the NFL, people are going to run you over. But again, man, listen, you're a prospect at this time. You're just coming in. You're going to learn, you know, you're going to do that in practice and the coach is going to pull you. We're like, yo, no, we're not doing that here. You know, and they're going to teach you a multitude of ways to practice bringing your feet when you tackle. So I'm not, I don't think, I don't think that's going to be a problem running going forward. But yeah, I didn't see the loose hips thing. I think he was a little stiff, but his knowledge of the game, I think, and his instincts kind of took him places. I think that's why he performed and got drafted.
And I think what's going to help him is being, playing safety and having that experience, because he's probably not going to see the field that much if he's going to be a corner, right? Because we got three top corners on our team, four actually, if you include, right, Hall and Eccles behind our starters. So
yeah,
at best he's going to be like five, on the depth chart. So, but safety is where, you know what, if he impresses enough, there's a chance he could play. He could start as a safety, I think.
Yeah, well, if he impresses long enough,
shot. Right? It's a long shot. But
It's one of those other positions. This is one of the positions in this defense, in my opinion, that's really hard to learn. I think there's a level of expectation, a pretty high level of expectation by Jeff Ulbrich on what your job is, what it entails. And I think it probably entails learning everybody in front of you and what they're doing. I don't think this kid is anywhere close to that. I don't think he's going to be battling for a starting job at safety at all. I think in spots, depending on the circumstance, they might use him. Depending, like, again, like you said, depending on how he performs in camp. But, I don't see him contributing in a big way.
Maybe special off the teams. Bat.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree there.
So now we'll go to our seventh round pick, our final pick. This was very intriguing, to say the least, but tight end Zach Kuntz from Old Dominion. 6'7", 255.
Yeah, crazy.
Quickly, what Draft Bible said, a big, tall, athletic, strong pass catcher with a P5 pedigree. Kuntz has emerged as one of the most dynamic tight end prospects in the nation. Blessed with great size and speed, Kuntz can stretch the field or serve as red zone mismatch. He runs solid routes and displays superb quickness. An adequate blocker, he especially thrives in run blocking.
I will tell you one thing I saw, because I watch highlights. And I hate watching a lot of highlights, but that's all I got.
Old Dominion, yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that stood up to me when it comes, because they said he ran solid routes. Yeah, he ran solid routes. Solid is basically just before good, in my opinion. So that means, yeah, you're missing a few very important technical things about route running. And one of the things is, I don't think he does a really good job at dropping his hips to get himself out of his breaks. I think that might be a coaching thing. Maybe he could learn that, because this dude is incredibly athletic, man. So I don't think that's a problem. I think it just, he has to learn how to be patient with his route and be able to understand how to get from his stem to his breaks and get out of his breaks. He does not have a problem getting out of his breaks. Like I said, he's explosive enough and athletic enough to do that. But being able to run a stem in the NFL is incredibly important, because that's, you have to be able to sell your route. And I think his quickness got him away with a lot of things in college. That's not going to happen in the NFL. So another thing I think that I got a question is the fact that he's, despite his incredible athleticism, he wasn't drafted until the seventh round. This dude's RAS scores matches or surpasses most of the tight ends that were drafted way before him. So why in the hell are you still sitting here in the seventh round?
Right.
The only thing I could think of is there's something. I had a friend of mine, story time, I have a pretty good friend of mine that we basically grew up in Brooklyn a little before, together, and he's a very big dude, and you would think he was an offensive lineman or move tight end, right? Moved to Texas, started playing college football. I think this man played college football for about a month. And then I called him one day and I said, "Hey, man, how is ball going?" And he's like, "Nah, man, I quit." And I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Man, that ain't for me. I ain't about to like slam my head into a guy over and over again. I'm not doing this." And it's funny to me because I think I don't want to go out on a limb and say it's what I'm about to say is incredibly true or false. What I'm going to tell you is if you fall that far, are you a good football player? That's the question. Because right. people think because you're a great athlete, you're going to be able to play football. There's something about football players that are totally different from every other athlete, man. And maybe that's what teams smell about this kid. That he's great. He's a great athlete, but he's not a football player. And a football player is a crazy person. I don't care what anybody tell me. And those guys are nice people, man. A lot of them are. But you got to be nuts to play this game. I don't know if this kid has it. You know, I really don't. Yeah, I really don't. I don't know if he has it, man. That's the only thing. Because, Chris, point out to me why somebody with the kind of thing. Come on, man. 4.55 in the 40? A 40-inch vertical? This dude's arms is long as hell. And he had 23 reps at 225. Normally, guys with long arms do not push the bench press a lot of weight. He is strong. He's fast. He's quick. He's athletic. He's everything. But yet still, teams do not think he's going to be a great football player. So they almost didn't draft him. That's where, in my opinion, the question lies.
Right. And I think, listen, this guy's got a long road to be, you know, he's got a tough road to begin with, because at tight ends right now we're four deep.
Ooh.
If you include Yeboah, right? Because the top three,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't see him. I could see him making the practice squad. I just don't know if he's going to make, you know, the 53. I'll be outside of an injury. I'll be surprised if he makes that 53.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. But guess what? At that position in the draft, this is what you pick.
Right.
You take somebody that basically has something that you can't teach and try to show them how to play football properly. Because you know if you could add football to that set of skill set, that he could become something special. That's all it is. And hey, man, I can't be mad at the Jets for the pick at all.
No, I think that's, you know what? This is one of those, you take a shot, and if you could turn this guy into a football player, then you got some football player, right?
Yep, you have. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. If this
right
kid,
for a seventh round pick, you know, this is not a bad pick for a seventh rounder.
No, you know? Not at all. Nope.
220th overall. So,
yeah.
You can't really complain about that. Yeah, no, I like it. I think overall, I like the draft. I don't want to say I loved it like last year. Like last year, we were like, this is great. This is awesome. I just think overall, the draft itself, not just the Jets draft, but overall, I think the potential of the players were not as high as the last couple of years, I thought. I don't know.
You're not imagining that. I saw the same thing that you did. There were a handful of players that are, you could say, that are semi-transcendent, and that was it. Everything else was like good guys, good players.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not saying
there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. No. I mean, but last year, some of the players in the first round, man, holy crap.
Right.
Those guys are basically game changing type of talents. I don't think we had a lot of that this year.
No. Think about it. We got Garrett Wilson at what, 10?
Not 10. You know,
Jermaine Johnson all the way down towards the bottom of the first round.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, it's a different draft than that. Even leading up to the draft, outside of the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, there wasn't that much of a buzz about the draft.
About the players. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It just seemed like there was a less of a buzz compared, like last year it was like everybody couldn't wait for the draft because, man, where's this guy going to go? Where's this, you know, like how far is this going to fall and all this kind of stuff. And so there were some big surprises. Who do you, out of some of the drafts, no grades, but who else did you like outside of, you know, who else's team, what other teams caught your eye about how they drafted?
The Detroit Lions and the Eagles off the top of my head.
I'll add Seattle to that. Seattle did really well too, I thought.
I don't remember what Seattle did.
Seattle, oh man, now you're gonna put
remind me.
I do remember saying, wow, that was a really good draft by them. They ended up getting I gotta find it. All right, I'll find it. The one thing that that draft kind of proved was that
they took my favorite cornerback, number one. Right.
And they took
Devon Witherspoon.
Everybody's then favorite wide receiver. Right. They took Smith in
JSN.
Yeah.
They took JSN number two. Wait. Okay. Derek Hall. Okay.
And that guy has a great story, right?
Yes.
That was the guy that was born premature and
they
didn't give him a chance to live. And oh man, if you guys check it out on NFL.com.
And Charbonnet?
Yep.
Bro, that's a draft.
Yep.
Now I don't know anything about Anthony Bradford, but
their offense is loaded right now. Think about how much that
offense. Those three picks is incredible for me. To me, Charbonnet was one of those sleepers that at running back that I heard that name a multitude of times from people that I trust. Yeah. Did not watch him myself. I'm going off of somebody else's tape and not one. Like, I'll say like four different people that I think that do very well when it comes to the draft had Charbonnet really high up. They really loved him. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I agree with you on that, Chris.
What about the Texans? They drafted Stroud and they drafted back up to get Will Anderson. What do you think of that?
For Flash, incredible.
Yes.
For real? I don't know, man. I don't know. Let me go back and see that draft because I don't think I liked that draft as much as a lot of people did. I told you before that I like Stroud. Right. I think he got a lot of crap for no reason. So I wasn't mad at that. My problem is, I think Will Anderson is incredible. He's one of those players, in my opinion, that was the player that's nearing that, you know, game wrecker type, incredible player. Like, who's the best pass rusher in the league right now?
Ooh.
Brown's edge rusher?
Yeah, he's definitely up there.
Okay. When Garrett was coming out, what was Garrett? Basically, he was like the stamp. You'll be like, stamp it right now. He's going to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL for whatever amount of time he plays, right?
Yep.
Have you ever thought of Will Anderson as that?
No, not yet.
No, I'm saying no. I'm saying if you watched him play, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, right. But that's what I'm saying. When I watch Garrett play, bro, it jumped off the screen. You were like, holy, it's just destroying people, right? Now, I'm not saying that Will Anderson is not good or he's not going to be great, but did Will Anderson separate himself that much from everybody else? That's my question.
Ah, I see what you mean.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, to give up, right, to trade up. And
thank you very much.
I got
because
you.
That's the value of coming back up and getting that player. I'm, again, not saying that the kid is not special. I'm just saying there's levels to this.
Right, how special?
Because being a Garrett play a type pass rusher and being Will Anderson, in my opinion, it's different.
Right.
And that difference, in my opinion, for that, I wouldn't give up what they give up to come and get him.
Right.
I really don't. I wouldn't. So, but apparently they thought that much of it.
Right. They obviously do. They think he's going to be the face of their defense. And, you know, they got the new head coach, right?
Yeah.
The defensive coordinator from the 49ers.
And
so
I can't
get that mentality.
I don't want to argue with D'Amico Ryans, man. I don't.
No.
You know what I mean? But
I got you.
The value for that pick didn't do it for me, in my opinion.
Right. And
I'm probably one of the rare ones to say that because I haven't heard anybody else say that.
My thing is how special he's going to be and also what you gave up for. Are you in a position to do that?
That's what I'm talking about when it comes to value.
Right.
Because if you're going to make that pick, I think I said this once somewhere on Twitter where I said that great players cover for some weaknesses on your team. If you have players that are so good that even if with a weakness on your team, they basically cover that, right? So if you have a coverage issue, is Will Anderson so good that he could put a Band-Aid on it? That's my question, because you're giving up the amount of stuff you're giving up for this dude. You're telling me that's what he is. And I'm saying, I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not just because he hasn't played pro football. Because to me, a lot of the pass rushers coming out of college that I've saw, like even the Watt brothers, I mean, you just knew. Holy crap. You know what I mean? And I'm not taking shots at Anderson Jr. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to be wonderful. I think he has the potential to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. But it just bothers me that they gave up so much to grow up and get him.
I totally agree. That was a lot. For a team that's, I don't want to say they're not ready to contend because that division is weak, you know, the AFC South. So yeah, maybe they're thinking, hey, if CJ Stroud is as special as we think he's going to be, yeah, we could compete in this division. So maybe that's what they're thinking, but to give up next year's one, I thought that was a lot, but hey, you know what? I appreciate their aggressiveness though. You know, they're showing you like, hey, we're ready. We want to do something special for this organization, for the fans. So they think they got the two faces of their franchises in this draft. Look at it that way. CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. And time will tell if they got it right, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope it works out for them.
Yeah. So, all right. So anyway, that was our show, our recap of the draft. Next week, we're going to have our friend Andrew Golden on to give us even more insight into these draft picks, a lot better insight than we just did. Hope you join us. Hope you enjoyed this show, and we will see you guys next week.
Take it easy, Will.